You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Saturday's edition of the podcast. Plenty of good racing to look forward to on Saturday, and you'll hear it all live from 1:15pm on William Hill Racing Radio with Mick Norton, James Millman and Paddy Aspel in the studio. But before that, joining me, Sam Norris, to take a look ahead to four contests on Saturday afternoon is Rory DeLaghi. How are you, Rory?
Not bad, Sam.
Good stuff. Enjoy the racing yesterday?
Yeah. Not the highest quality overall, but some decent racing on offer. Newmarket particularly. Mm. And a sign that the younger generation of three-year-olds are beginning to dominate some of the handicaps as well. So a bit of a sea change, as it often is at this time of the year.
Yeah, it's beginning to get tougher and tougher for those older horses to give away the weight, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And this is... the weight for age skill clearly favours the three-year-olds, but they need to reach that level of maturity. Mm. And it tends to be... You know, when you do get that concerted period of decent weather, when the horses begin to mature and strengthen up in midsummer, that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. But we've got a fantastic day of action on Saturday. It's Northumberland Plate Day, of course, at Newcastle. So we've got good racing at Newmarket and a fabulous meeting from the Curra as well with an Irish Classic in the Derby on Saturday. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it looks a terrific weekend's racing. Always been a big fan of Northumberland Plate Day, and this is
a especially interesting
one with the track going to be all weather from next season. Probably no Northumberland played at Newcastle next year at all. Mm. Maybe. So we'll certainly enjoy this one last hurrah.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll move on to some of Saturday's feature racing shortly, but we must touch on the racing news. Bit of a quiet day, but we'll start with the news that broke yesterday confirming that New Bay will be going to the Eclipse at Sandown. I mentioned this on the podcast yesterday with Sean Rory. What a treat it will be to see two Derby winners going head-to-head.
Yeah, we don't often get the benefit of that. Indeed, the mid-season classics, if you like, those races like the Eclipse and the King George, which are meant to be a big clash of generations, they haven't mm. lived up to that billing more often than not in the last decade. So having the Derby winner and the French Derby winner going head-to-head, it's always tempting to say the English Derby winner, isn't
yeah.
it? And that's a capital offence. That'll be a terrific race. And obviously, I would have... Golden Horn as being the better of the pair there, but of course New Bay won the French Derby, which is now over a mile, 2.5 furlongs rather than a mile and a half, which was originally going to be Golden Horn's target. Of course, the Eclipse arguably might favour the winner of the French Classic, but of course plenty of people talking before the Derby about how Golden Horn might actually be a better mile and a quarter horse than a mile mm. and a half horse, and stamina was an issue. Potentially going into Epsom. So an absolutely terrific clash. And it'll be interesting to see how the collateral form works out, because the runner-up in the Derby and the runner-up in the French Derby clash tomorrow at the Curra as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, fascinating form lines to be watching then. Looking forward to the Eclipse when it comes round. But we'll move on to take a look at some of Saturday's racing. As I mentioned, it's a really good day on Saturday. We'll start with a couple of races at Newmarket. The feature race there is the Criterium. We'll come to that in just a second. We'll start with Air 250. This one is a Fillies listed stakes. Seven of them line up for this 6 furlong contest. Then most of the field, pretty lightly raced, Rory. Just one or two starts for
yeah.
all apart from 60 Sue.
Not the kindest race to try to analyse, given the paucity of solid form here. Plenty of these won last time out, but mostly in maiden company. Bournemouth Bell won a maiden at the second time of asking at Goodwood. Kitty's Diamond won easily in a maiden at Redcar before being sold to Qatar Racing. Cabana Sands, like Bournemouth Bell, won a maiden at the second time of asking at Leicester. And Light Old Lady won first time out at Goodwood a couple of weeks ago as well. So plenty of horses who've got winning maiden form, but difficult to know which of those can step up to listed company. My gut feeling is that it's not the strongest race for the grade. And even those who've won maidens and won reasonably impressively, the form hasn't worked out brilliantly with the likes of Bournemouth Bell, or indeed arguably the most exciting horse in the race, Katie's Diamond. She absolutely bolted up at Redcar, won by 4.5 lengths, essentially hard held under Danny Tudhope. But the horse that she beat that day, Smart Mover, was unplaced in a cellar next time.
Mm.
And that rather knocks the form back. It was a biggish field at Redcar, but it wasn't a terribly strong race on paper, and it hasn't worked out. So while she was visually very impressive, she probably needs to step up to be winning a race like this. And I thought that the one with the most solid credentials was probably White Bullet, who's only had the one run. She didn't win, but she did make her debut in listed company, which is a sign of intent on the part of Kevin Ryan, who trains her. She's another one who's changed hands since we saw her on debut, like Katie's Diamond, now running in the colours of Mrs. Olivia Hoare. She finished third to Delizia in the Marygate Stakes at York. The Marygate, again, was a biggish field, but it comes quite early in the season, 15th of May, that race. And it wasn't terribly strong. You couldn't have sworn before the race that any of them were up to listed standard. But the first and second both ran in the Queen Mary last week at Royal Ascot. Delizia ran well for a long way. Both of them were unplaced in the end. James Givens filly the other one in there. But it suggested that they were... The way they ran in a very strong Queen Mary suggested at least they were solid listed fillies. And White Bullet ran well to be third. She showed signs of inexperience that day. She got behind in the early stages and looked a little bit green. And it took her a while to know what was required of her. But she finished very strongly, grabbed third in the Dying Strides, and gave the impression that she would improve a chunk on that next time out. Here she is in listed company again. Again, a race that you could argue maybe isn't really a listed race on paper, given what the fillies have achieved, and she deserves to go close if she improves at all in that effort. She might not need to improve an awful lot to at least hit the frame, but she improves £10 from that, which is what you would expect, and I think she'll be hard to beat.
Okay, then the selection there, White Bullet, in that fillies listed event at Newmarket. We'll go to their feature race on Saturday in the Criterion Stakes, a Group 3 over 7 furlongs. 10 of them take their chance here. Who caught your eye?
I thought this was a really interesting race in which you could hardly rule out anything. The one thing I wanted to base this around was the fact that the Criterion is one of a fairly small number of 7-furlong pattern events in the UK. And I've always been taught that 7 furlongs is a real specialist distance. It's not a sprinter's trip and it's not a miler's trip. You need to find horses who want 7 furlongs. And therefore, I think there's an angle to be against the best two in the race, who would have as Hors de Combat and One of the Years. They're both fundamentally milers. I know Hors de Combat is a course and distance winner in his time, but all his recent runs over the last year have been over a mile, and that's also been the case with One of the Years. So I'd want to be against them on the basis that you want a 7-furlong horse for a 7-furlong Group 3. And if you kick those out, you're theoretically getting value.
Mm.
Code Red is interesting, having won the Surrey Stakes at Epsom last time out. My worry with him is that his best form has been shown with a little bit of ease in the ground, and I'd want to know that the going's officially good again at Newmarket. I just wonder whether it might become a little bit quicker over the next 24 hours. If I thought there was going to be cuts, he'd be very interesting indeed. 3-year-olds have a fair record in this over the years, but I've passed him over, and the other 3-year-old as well, Marquez, who I think is probably a 6-furlong horse. He has run at 7 furlongs, run respectively. He was third to Tupi up this track in listed company in May, but I do think that fundamentally he wants a little bit shorter, and that hopefully narrows the field down a little bit further. I fancy a couple of prices here. Lincoln and Outback Traveller met in the Victoria Cup at Ascot a couple of runs ago. Outback Traveller has not run since. Lincoln ran in the Hunt Cup last week, was probably in the wrong part of the track, and again the issue there was he was back up to a mile. He's run at a mile several times this season, looked a non-stayer. When he's been tried at 7 furlongs, he's run very well. He was third to ML, who opposes here again, at Haydock in April, and he was an excellent second to Speculative Bid in that Victoria Cup, only beaten half a length. Outback Traveller was well held there back in 17th, but he met quite a lot of trouble in running, wasn't persevered with. On his previous start, he'd been beaten ahead by Speculative Bid. So the pair of them are quite closely matched. And the pair of them are 7-furlong performers through and through. the thing that separated them for me is that Outback Travelers won twice at Newmarket, whereas Lincoln actually hasn't run at the track. It may turn out that it's the ideal place for him, because he does like to get rolling, Lincoln. But it would be rather ironic to find out that your horse is a Newmarket specialist after you've run him about 20 times. So that's a possibility. But Outback Travelers, drawn in stall one, which is against the standside rail, which may be an advantage. We saw a couple of runners yesterday winning against the rail. That bias can swing around a little bit, but I'd rather be on one wing or the other than up the middle. I'm with Outback Traveller in stall one, with excuses for his last run, and a couple of smart time performances on his card, including when absolutely bolting up at a competitive handicap at Ascot in October last year. I think he's worth chancing at around 8-1.
Okay, Outback Traveller then getting the vote in the Criterion at Newmarket. We'll go then to Newcastle for our next. It's the Northumberland Plate, of course, the 3:45. And we've got betting on this one at the time of recording. Quest for More leads the market at 8-1, 9-1 for Gabriel's King, 9-1 Seymour, Right to Rain is 10s, 11s for Oasis Fantasy, 12s or bigger the rest of them. As we mentioned earlier on, Rory, it's likely to be either the last Northumberland, well, certainly be the last Northumberland Plate on turf, might be the last one at Newcastle as well. So added impetus to win this one.
Yes, absolutely. And the greatest story in this race would be if Brian Ellison could win it. He's a local lad. He's wanted to win this race for a long time. He's won plenty of decent staying handicaps over the years. But this is the one he's really wanted, and he will be going all out to win it. And he has got the horse to do it. Often you look at this race and you want to go through the credentials of the top 8 or 9 in the betting and start narrowing them down. I'm interested in one horse and one horse only in this race, and that's Seymour. Who I think the world of. He's only been beaten twice in his life. He was beaten on racecourse debut when completely unfancied, and getting beaten less than a length in a Kempton maiden only 10 months ago. It'll be 10 months to the day that he made his debut coming into this. So he's made amazing progress in a very short space of time. His other defeat came in a mile and a half handicap at York over a trip that was too short for him. And it was merely to set him up. I think it was to qualify him for the Haydock race he won last time out, because that was a class 2 handicap. I don't think he would have been qualified for it without having another run in the flat. So that did its job. He then went to Haydock, beat stablemate Total Eyes over 2 miles last time out, and half this field were behind him that day. Obviously, he's gone up in the weights. He's raised £8 for winning that. I thought he did it with a lot to spare. There is a suggestion that the first and second, both trained by Brian Allison, by the way, made their runs up the inside at Haydock, which might have favoured them. But to me, the inside at Haydock is the worst place to be. As we've seen in various races this season, horses are just getting bogged down on that rail. So I thought he did well to win it from there. He didn't have to be... Ben Curtis didn't have to get to the bottom of him at all to win that. The issue with him tomorrow... two issues. He's relatively lightly raced for a race like this, which is a tough contest to win. Tends to be plenty of hurly-burly going on. But he dealt with that pretty well at Haydock, to be honest. And the other issue is he's drawn 22, which is not easy to overcome, but it's not impossible. You know, the key to dealing with the draw is looking at how horses with similar draws have done in the past. And if you go back a few years, the Overturn won this from the widest draw a few years ago. He had to be bounced out of the stalls to do that. But again, I think the key, if you've got a horse you think is good enough to win a race like this and maybe have a bit to spare, you take no chances. You don't sort of take a pull from the start and tuck in behind and hope for luck. You make your own luck and ride your horse positively. I think Seymour's a group horse.
Okay.
I think he's very good indeed.
Okay, Seymour then getting the vote in the Northumberland Plate. We'll go then to the final race on the podcast, probably the biggest race of the day on Saturday. It's the Irish Derby from the Curragh coming up at 6:30. A mile and a half the trip for this. 8 of them declared, and it's Jack Hobbs who heads affairs at 8-11. Obviously second in the Derby and second in the Dante as well. Highland Reels next in at 9-2. 8-1 for Giovanni Canaletto. The Oaks winner qualify is 8-1 along with Storm the Stars. It's 20s. Bar those 8-11, obviously he's very impressive, Jack Hobbs. Is he worthy of that price though?
I think he is, to be honest, because he's already beaten most of these anyway. His second in the Derby was an excellent performance behind a genuinely exceptional horse in Golden Horn, and he was 4.5 lengths clear of the third. If Golden Horn had gone to France rather than being supplementary for the Derby, he'd be one of the most impressive Derby winners in recent years, and therefore you'd have to have him at odds on. He's also still unexposed and improving with every run. He's taken a step forward with every performance to date. It was a a good performance to finish second to Golden Horn at York. Yes, Golden Horn beat him a little bit further at Epsom, but then Golden Horn is a bit of a monster, to be honest. He had Giovanni Canaletto back in fourth. He had Storm the Stars in third. He's got, you know, 4.5 lengths to spare over Storm the Stars, 6.5 over Giovanni Canaletto. That pair might improve again, but there's no reason why either of them should improve more than him. So he pretty much has the beating of those. If there's an interesting one against him, Kilimanjaro again back in sixth, we could keep doing this carbon dating further back in the field.
Yeah.
The one horse who could spoil the party is Highland Reel, who was a running on second to New Bay in the French Derby last time out. And the issue with Highland Reel, who didn't go to Epsom, presumably on the basis that they weren't sure that he'd stay, because he's from a family that Aidan O'Brien knows well, from an Australian family, but his dam is a half-sister to Haradasan, who won the Queen Anne for Aidan O'Brien a few years ago. But she's also a full sister to a superstar in Australia called Elfstrom. And while Haradasan didn't want any further than a mile, Elfstrom won twice at a mile and a half, and not bad races either. He won the Victoria Derby as a three-year-old, and he won the Caulfield Cup, beating no less than Maccabi Diva. So he was an out-and-out mile and a half, although he did a lot of his winning at shorter trips, as they do in Australia. He stayed a mile and a half very well. And if Highland Reel takes after that side of the family, and he did shape that way in France, he was doing his best work late on, then he might actually improve again for the step up to a mile and a half. So he's an unknown quantity, and as such, with Ryan Moore riding him, he is the potential bogeyman in the race. For me, Jack Hobbs' credentials are much stronger than anything else in the race, and he deserves to be an odds-on favourite, and I can't look past him, to be honest.
Okay, fair enough. And yeah, Jack Hobbs looks a warm order for the Irish Derby. And just remind us, please, one more time of your four selections for the races on Saturday.
In the Empress Stakes at Newmarket at 2:50, I've gone with White Bullet. The 3:25 Outback Traveller gets my vote at the 7 furlongs. Seymour would get my nap vote in the Northumberland Plate at 3:45 at Newcastle, and I think the favourite, Jack Hobbs, will win the Irish Derby at 6:30.
Okay, excellent. There we are, then, the thoughts of Rory Delaghi ahead of the action on Saturday, and you'll hear every race live from 1:15 p.m. with William Hill Racing Radio. Mick Norton, James Millman and Paddy Aspel will be in the studio to accompany you for all of Saturday's racing. Thank you very much for joining me, Rory, and hope you enjoy the action on Saturday.
Thanks very much, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.